This is Noah Kadner, and you're listening to the Virtual Production Podcast. We've all been to concerts and live events, but have you ever wondered what software is creating all the displays and lighting effects? If you've watched anything major in the past decade, you've probably seen a piece of software called Disguise in action.
I'm Fernando Kufra, the CEO of Disguise.
I'm Addy Ghani. I'm the Vice President of Virtual Production at Disguise. I am in charge of film and TV.
Hey, I'm Tom Rockhill. I'm Chief Commercial Officer here at Disguise. I joined Disguise in 2018, which for virtual production was an interesting time because we just wrapped on supporting the teams on Solo, on doing the projection stuff on Solo. And my background is visual effects and animation, so I sort of came at an interesting time. And from that period where we were about 70 people, now we're north of 300 or something, we built out offices in Tokyo, Seoul, Beijing, Australia, Hong Kong, Southeast Asia. So yeah, all over the place.
Disguise is a display platform widely used across all forms of live entertainment. It's also used often in large-scale LED volume stages for virtual production, especially those with large, complex shapes and ceilings. But the company's origins are modest.
Our company was founded by Ash Nehru, who I think about 20 years ago was working in live events and realized there was a gap in technology. There was no show control software that could do accurate pixel mapping, playback, high resolution, heavy files, playback notch correctly, which is like a generative game engine type generator. So he just went ahead and built his own tool. And that was the inception of our company. And then fast forward to 2020, at the beginning of the pandemic, we saw that LED volume was being used quite a bit for film and TV.
When I came to the business, I was like, oh, this business has got so much opportunity. We have to be able to do things outside live events and use it for other verticals and other parts of the M&E market. And then, of course, the pandemic was the biggest challenge and the biggest opportunity for us. So we were forced to innovate and pivot. And we then turbocharged some of the plans, did the integration with Unreal Engine, and launched the beginnings of XR. And that very quickly got us about 200 stages and locations around the world using the technology. And so we pride ourselves in always innovating and iterating fast. What we're trying to build at Disguise is this super inclusive, everyone is welcome at Disguise, and we're all learning here. So we're not going to have absolutely every rule and everything worked out. We're in the process of learning. And I think the beauty with all of the huge technological transformation and the merge of tech and art and all of these convergence is it gives people the freedom to be a bit more willing to try new things and to make mistakes and to learn fast. And I think that's been very exciting to watch.
We have 12 offices worldwide, and from there we service all of our customers. Just speaking numbers, we have 350 plus installs around the world. Those are fixed install, not just like rental inventory. And out of those 350 plus, I would say about 100, 120 of them are what you would consider VPs. So shooting, commercials, film, TV, and whatnot.
All of our guests had a unique path to their current positions at Disguise.
I have a computer engineering background, so very much technical. I went to school here in San Diego. And coming out of school, I watched Shrek 2, right, in the theater.
Don't care.
Shrek, give us a hug, you old love machine.
And I'm like, that's it. That's what I want to do. I want to go work at DreamWorks. And then so somehow or another, I ended up working at DreamWorks Animation for over 10 years. And after the pandemic, I got introduced to Disguise by Epic. And it was like the right company for me. And they were doing all the right things. They're like going into the future, courageous, brave. And that's what I wanted to be. That's what I wanted to do.
I grew up in Argentina. My parents used to run hotels, so from a very young age, I was very involved in the running of the hotel and managing people and doing things. And then as I grew a bit older, I did a bit of everything. I was at Glastonbury watching a Massive Attack concert, and I came back to London and opened LinkedIn and saw that this company that did the effects for Massive Attack, so to speak, was looking for a new person to lead them and help them transform the business. I did a ton of interviews. I was ready. It was my job. And then on the day, they called me and said, hey, we've decided to go with someone from the industry. You're a great candidate. Thanks for your time. And I just went, well, you're making a mistake. You've been surrounded by your industry for 10 years. And it's amazing, but you need to come out of the industry. And then 3 days later, they gave me a shout and said, hey, would you like to come for lunch and have a discussion? And the rest is history.
I spent 7 years at the Foundry. I was there during the sort of period where node-based compositing was the way forward and Nuke was everywhere and Apple had discontinued Shake and it was just all guns blazing. And at that time as well, Foundry had bought into other studio products or studio technologies that they then productized. So Katana at Sony and Mari at Weta. And for me, that was it. My interest in anything else waned from my sort of passion for image processing and visual effects and that sort of thing. I joined Disguise through an introduction by Bill Collis, who was the CEO of Foundry. I was chairman at Disguise. And we just come off the back of Solo, working with Lux Machina and the teams there or supporting them on set, and had seen firsthand how our products could be used to deliver spectacular video content for great effect in production.
Although we've all probably seen many examples of Disguise in action, it's worth looking into what it does and how it works.
Disguise is basically the platform that takes your video content, whether that's running in real time on render nodes that are all built by Disguise or pre-rendered video playback or live video feeds from a concert or something like that. And we take all of that into our software, and our software acts as a pixel perfect simulator. So it simulates in the software in 3D exactly where every single pixel will end up on an LED or a projection output. And you can start to take scans of the front of buildings or a LiDAR scan of a studio environment, bring that into the 3D space and actually start to map with pixel perfect accuracy exactly how the images will look, even down to things like simulating moiré effects from certain camera angles. So Disguise is kind of your go-to for the backbone and the heart of a system for then doing whatever it is that you want to do in the physical world using video content.
We like to think of it as a centralized place to control your show. So that could be everything from lighting to content to pixel mapping to switching out different types of content, 2D, 3D, and whatnot.
Mostly, I'd say for a theater production or an installation, the show is pretty well defined and it's cued to music or it's cued to, you know, a talk track. And so really at that point, you're just managing the content playing out at the right time and making sure that you're able to troubleshoot quickly if something doesn't look right. What's been interesting for us getting into starting our journey in virtual production 5 years ago or so is the mindset is different on set. So you need to be able to reach in and iterate really quickly and take feedback and respond to that feedback and make things happen at lightning speed so that you can capture a different shot or a different angle or a completely different piece of content.
Because we're a small company who also listens to a lot of customers and we're always looking to innovate on these fronts, integration is a big component of what we do on the engineering level. So if you have a piece of technology that doesn't work with Disguise just yet, we'll go ahead and work with you on integrating that. A good example of that is Snapchat. So Snap came to us and wanted to power their main app and connect it to a physical concert. And we worked with them, and now Snapchat is integrated through RenderStream, which is our rendering platform.
There's a critical live component inherent in virtual production for film, TV, and live events. Therefore, a confident personality is best suited to this environment.
Being on set, it is different to being at a live show, but you're still operating in a very high stakes, high pressure environment where at one point in time and at multiple points in time during a day, everyone's looking at you. And if it doesn't work or it doesn't look right, you have to think about how are you going to make it look right and manage all of the people in the room and manage the situation. The common denominator for virtual production has been Unreal Engine because, you know, that's a tool now that's used in live events, broadcasts, design, architecture, and of course, content for film episodic production and virtual production. And so we've seen a lot of people from the live industry get into virtual production. We've now seen virtual production people now migrating into broadcast because you've got ESPN and you've got multiple other major broadcasters adopting Unreal workflows for rethinking the aesthetic of broadcast and sports broadcast. So you're seeing this cross-pollination of talent, I think, all over the place, and everyone is bringing a new skill set to their new space.
Stay with us. After the break, we'll be back with more virtual production insights from the team at Disguise. This episode of the Virtual Production Podcast is brought to you in part by Planer, makers of high-end LED display solutions used in traditional display and for in-camera visual effects. Visit them at planer.com. And by Pixotope, makers of powerful and intuitive XR and AR software. Please visit them at pixotope.com. Now that we know better what Disguise is and how it works, let's dive into some of the significant projects creators have used it on.
If there's any major concert on Earth, and this is not an exaggeration, it's powered by Disguise. So Taylor Swift's tour right now, it's a Disguise show. Adele's residency in Vegas, that's Disguise. Or if there is any major live event program like the Oscars or Super Bowl or Coachella, there's going to be a Disguise server in there somewhere.
And then we're across, for example, the New Year's countdown on the front of the Burj Khalifa is pixel mapped inside of Disguise products. They have an in-house Disguise system. Those sorts of applications, museums, casinos, corporate lobbies increasingly, and then theatre and opera. So many of the West End and Broadway stage shows, Dear Evan Hansen, The Network, The Frozen stage show are all running in Disguise products for doing video-based stuff on stage. And then corporate events, corporate launches, the motor shows that happen around the world. So we're just about to launch into a big project at the Tokyo Motor Show.
On the film and TV side, we have Nant Studios here in LA who run Disguise, at least on their 2D side. We have several high-profile stages around the world. So Nordisk in Denmark, CJENM in South Korea. We have yet unannounced studio in Japan. We have a yet unannounced studio in London that's coming online.
Disguise is developed according to specific workflows and user needs. Still, its real power and the key to its success is the ability to work with just about any piece of related hardware or software.
Disguise even controls robotics. We control 3D data, and we even control pyro. So fireworks at the show could be controlled by Disguise. So we have about 1,500 different types of integrations with other technologies. So chances are, if it's out there, it's probably able to be compatible with Disguise.
For us, it's all about giving people the flexibility to use whatever content or whatever tool they want. And I think that, coupled with 20 years of running live events and live shows in 65 countries, all of that learned experience and all of that put into the product makes it quite an irresistible offering, especially when you're looking for these extremely complex and extremely high-end experiences like MSG Sphere or like ESPN Sports Center or Taylor Swift or Beyonce's Renaissance Tour. And, you know, the show must go on and it cannot fail. And if it fails, you need to be there supporting them. So I think those are all the values and the principles that carried us here and also make us relatively unique on that front. It is all about not being stuck on one set of old technologies and always adapting to the new technologies and allowing people to use them.
In 10 years, I'll be honest, if anybody tells you what they think is going to happen, they're probably lying. I think at best, AI gives you a bunch of choices and you pick from one, whereas content creation in the traditional sense is exactly what you need, you build. And we have to fill that gap. Right now, if you are to walk into a VP set and you want to shoot a commercial and you really don't care what beach it's in or what time of day it's in and so on, then yeah, I think generative AI might work for that. However, if you're shooting Star Wars, it's not going to work, right? That stuff is so specific to creative needs. And I think that last 10% of AI will be the toughest one to get to.
With all their experience and success, the team still appreciates the importance of newcomers to the industry. They have some great advice for listeners interested in pursuing careers that might involve Disguise.
Pick up the tools and start playing. Figure out what it is that you can do. We have hundreds of modules online on the Disguise Learn platform, so you can go online and train for free. You can learn all of our tools for free and take all of those modules and skill sets. And Unreal is obviously the main tool that if you're looking to get specifically into virtual production and film production, that you'd want to be using on the content creation side. And in terms of being a Disguise operator, I mean, the good thing about being a Disguise operator, I guess, is that if you find out that actually you're interested in the tech and the platform and making cool stuff happen in physical spaces, there's lots of different avenues across Disguise. So there's the concert touring, live events, installation, theatre, opera, and lots of different spaces you can get into. So I think it's just get playing. If you've got that passion, that drive, just pick up the tools and start going.
We've been working with the Academy of Life Technology, which used to be called Backstage Academy. We've been working with Explore here in the UK. We are now driving the CoStar program, which is a government program around virtual production. We're working with MyBath in Bristol, which is another program around education. And all the universities and all the governments are starting to look at how they're going to structure and create better pathways for students and new people into this industry. So it's a very exciting time to be part of these new or newer industries.
If you're the sort of person that enjoys being in the bleeding edge and innovating and making, creating things, then this is for you. The Accelerator program specifically is my baby. And it's take somebody from a novice to an intermediate in the world of film and TV as it relates to virtual production. We have one here in LA, and then we have one now in New York and London and Barcelona and Japan. If you've ever seen people shoot on a VP stage, the immediate response is warmth and collaboration. There's nothing quite like shooting on a VP stage that I think normal green screen shoots are missing. You have the DP, the director, the actor, everybody huddling over, sweating together, trying to figure out these problems. I think the social aspect of virtual production is one that needs to be talked about more. And we found that really, really addictive, to be frank.
With their hands in so many different types of major productions, both in live events and in virtual production, the team at Disguise is uniquely qualified to ponder the industry's future.
I want something that works and that's replicable, scalable, that I can use here and in Japan and in Korea or in 20 states in the US. And with that comes being able to use whatever tool you want. So content flexibility. And for us specifically, it's like, okay, let's make sure we got all of the tools available, make them connected, make it easier to use, and make it easier for people to use the tools, because we expect, like everyone else, virtual production will come back even more prominently than it was before. And it's going to be about, okay, we have a set amount of time and we need to deliver this. So we can't be trying too many things and experimenting.
We've now reached a point where we've proved the case and the technology works and we're seeing commonality across tool sets and workflows and standards and everything else. And now what we need to do is make sure that we can reach the majority of the market. There's no doubt that these tools, you know, volumes, real time, everything else is part now of the natural lexicon and the flow of an industry. I mean, now roles have been created, courses are created, the talent is there, we're certainly starting to mature. And so we're in a place now where people understand, I think, the benefits of what these sorts of tools can bring. So you've got things like NVIDIA making lots of noise about Omniverse and everything else. So I think it's an interesting time, and I think we'll see content flexibility being key, using the right tool set for the job and not being tracked down one path, but also kind of stage and production flexibility. So tools that are modular, scalable, able to scale up, scale down, unified workflows and common tool sets and standards, so that you can jump into production and have a transient talent base that's not tied into doing things one particular way. So that we can support production as and where it needs to happen in the fashion that needs to happen and not be kind of locked into these ways of doing things.
The convergence of AI and VP is one that I'm super excited about. Those two technologies, as vast as they are, there's definitely a crossroad where they amount to something incredible. AI in the short term is making a lot of our manual processes just way, way easier, right? So the basic steps in which we make digital content is more or less going to be the same, but the inner workings of those steps will completely change with AI. For example, Move AI is a good example. Motion capture, which is the world I come from, incredibly tedious world where the suits and the actors, and I can't tell you how many times I had to touch sweaty actors and take markers off. That has all pretty much gone away and will go away in the near future, because now we just have markerless mocap. The incredible benefit of having democratized motion capture in people's phones and people's cameras, I think that's way more valuable. So applying that same train of thought to other aspects of production will only make virtual production easier to access, easier to leverage, in my opinion. As we head towards the next iteration of virtual production, not only are we going to have newer tools like AI, but we're also going to have more flexible, more modular stages. So the hardware itself and how that's leveraged is going to change. We're going to have more flexibility in the type of content, having a simpler user experience, reduced barrier to entry. All these things are going to be demanded by the industry because we are going to get to a point where things have to be this much money and this much time, and that's how VP gets that enormous success.
Listening to the Virtual Production Podcast. Special thanks to my guests, Adi Ghani, Fernando Kufer, and Tom Rockhill from Disguise for joining us. This episode was written and hosted by me, Noah Kadner. This episode was edited and mixed by Corey Abel. The Virtual Production Podcast is a co-production of The Virtual Company and Abel Cine. We love virtual production and would also love to work with you. So please visit our websites and drop us a line if we can help. You can find us at ablecine.com and thevirtual.co. The Virtual Production Podcast is brought to you in part by View Technologies, a state-of-the-art network of virtual production stages across North America. Visit them at view.network. And by Blackmagic Design, one of the world's leading innovators of creative video technology, which also works great with virtual production. Please also let us know if there's a subject or guest you want us to have on the show. And if you like what you heard today, please consider giving us a 5-star review, subscribing, and telling all your friends about us. Thanks again, and see you next time.